Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for coming this morning on this third Sunday in Advent. Just to say, if you can see the order of service, I have made a mistake on it and that I've put two canticles. And actually, we'll just be using the first one, not the second one, because the second canticle is almost identical to the first Bible reading. Anyway, all should be revealed if Julie can unmute herself at the appropriate time, because Julie's going to do the readings and the prayers. So we begin by saying, O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Reveal among us the light of your presence, that we may behold your power and glory. Blessed are you, sovereign God of all. To you be praise and glory forever. In your tender compassion, the dawn from on high is breaking upon us to dispel the lingering shadows of night. As we look for your coming among us this day, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. Come, let us return to the Lord and say, Lord our God, in our sin we have avoided your call. Our love for you is like a morning cloud, like dew that goes away early. Have mercy on us, deliver us from judgment. Bind up our wounds and revive us. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now Julie's going to give us our Old Testament reading.
The reading is Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 10. The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it. The splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the Way of Holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And so we turn to our canticle, which can be found on page 3. And we start by saying the refrain together. Look towards the east, O Jerusalem, and see the glory that is coming from God. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Saviour, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hands of all that hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors, and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. And now we'll have our New Testament reading.
The reading comes from Matthew 11, verses 2 to 11. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of woman, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The third Sunday in Advent is traditionally called Gaudete Sunday or Rejoice Sunday. In lots of churches, the colour purple, the colour associated with penitence, is replaced by the happier colour of rose. Sadly, much as I would like to wear rose, I don't have any vestments in rose, but because I'm doing this from home, I've been able to put my rose jumper on. So it jars a bit to find that our gospel reading from Matthew does not give us a story of rejoicing, but one of despair. John the Baptist is in prison. He's a broken man. The fire has gone from him. He's in chains and his future looks grim. He's also full of doubt. Has he backed the wrong man? Has he risked his life for a false Messiah? After all, nothing much has changed. Where's the new order? Where's the reign of justice and mercy? Where is the one who is greater, who will administer judgment and righteousness? Where is God and his kingdom? It would be interesting to turn the clock back and to know what John thought would happen. How did he imagine that God's revolutionary new order would come about? I can picture him in his cold, damp, dark prison, crying out in anguish, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" It seems to me that this is a crisis of belief. John is experiencing some real doubts. John's story is really quite extraordinary. His conception was announced by an angel. He leapt inside his mother's womb when Mary, who was pregnant, came to visit. The mantle of a prophet had rested on him his entire life. He was the forerunner, the voice crying in the wilderness, the one who preached about repentance, forgiveness, and baptism. He lived apart in the wilderness. He dressed in animal skins. He ate locusts and wild honey. And all the time he proclaimed the kingdom of God to anyone who would listen. That had been his entire life. It was what he had been brought up to do. And he was probably only 30. And then it all went badly wrong. When Herod decided to get rid of his wife and marry his brother's wife, John said what he thought and condemned the marriage. Not surprisingly, although Herod was fascinated by John, he threw him into prison. Was this the end for him? Was this all that he had accomplished? Had it all been a big mistake? No wonder John doubted. No wonder he questioned. I love the fact that a spiritual giant like John the Baptist had moments of doubt and despair, because I do too. And sometimes it's difficult to voice it. It sounds like failure, not trusting enough, not being faithful enough, not relying on God enough. I like the fact that John sent some of his followers to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" I wonder how John's disciples felt about asking Jesus that question. What response did they think they would get? Anger? Disappointment? Being made to feel guilty? In fact, I think Jesus' response is gentle. He answers with calm assurance. I think he knew how desperate his cousin was feeling. "Go back to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor." In other words, Jesus is saying to John's disciples, "Go and tell John the stories of what is happening, that God is breaking into the lives of ordinary people, that people are being healed, their lives are being changed, people are returning to God." We have no idea how John responded to Jesus' reply. Sadly, John was not to see much of Jesus' ministry firsthand. Instead, he was going to die a cruel and unnecessary death. I am sure John thought many, many times, "Why?" And as I read John's story too, I think, why? What was the point of that? I can understand why John's faith was shaken. As I think about his story and many other similar stories, it shakes my faith a bit too. It isn't okay for those who speak out for justice and truth to be imprisoned or silenced or killed. What did John's death accomplish? Nothing much. No one was sorry. No one changed. As Teresa of Avila is supposed to have said, "Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few." So, if you think back to what I said at the beginning, it is puzzling that the church not only remembers John the Baptist, but remembers him on a Sunday, which is called Rejoice. Maybe when John heard Jesus' reply, he was reminded of the passage from the prophet Isaiah, the the one we have heard this morning. They will rejoice. This is a recurring theme in Isaiah. They will rejoice. There will be a time and a place when the whole of creation will rejoice, when wilderness will be transformed and bursting with life. The wilderness had many meanings for Israel, for John, and for Jesus. It was a place to escape to and to flee from. It was dangerous. There were wild animals and there was little water. Nothing grew in the wilderness. It was a huge area where you could get lost. But the wilderness was where God's people learnt to trust God, where they experienced God's provision, his care, his love, and his affirmation. Isaiah prophesies of a time that will come when the wilderness will sing. They will rejoice, wilderness and dry land. Desert will shout with joy and it will bloom like a crocus. It will bloom, really bloom, and it will shout with joy, joy and joyous song. The prophet declares the joy of an earth wrung dry, wilderness, dry land, desert, and then shows us the reason, a profusion of blooms, shoots of new growth, budding towards fruit. Earth's joyful response grows into an echoing chorus, celebrating the gift of life. This dry earth will be given glory and honor and splendor, even as God's own glory and splendor. The visible manifestations of his divine sovereign power are revealed. And the God whose glory they will see, declares the prophet, he is our God. God is here. God will come, and he is our God. Isaiah offers assurance for the present and for the future. In the future, Isaiah asserts that God will act for the people to reverse oppression and deliver them. God will come and save you. God's arrival brings something more. When God comes, they will be opened, the eyes of the blind. The ears of the deaf will be opened. Then a lame man will leap like a stag. A silent man's tongue will shout, because waters will break open in the wilderness and streams in the desert. God's arrival transforms every inability into ability and every lack into miraculous abundance. God's coming brings the capacity to see and hear to those whose senses are starving for light and sound. These movements are for celebration. They are for nothing but the expression of joy in what God can do and what God has done. The man who could not walk will have strength in his legs to walk, but he won't just walk, he will jump. He will leap and run around like a fool for God. The man who couldn't or wouldn't speak will find himself able to talk, but he won't just talk. He will shout, he will sing, he will praise God at the top of his lungs. There, in the place that once was wilderness, once a place of wandering, there will be a wide road. There will be no more wanderings and no more danger. The people God has redeemed and ransomed will walk on it, and they will turn and they will come home. And Isaiah tells us that as they walk home, upon their head like a canopy, a garland or a crown, will be a joy not bounded by time. Rejoicing and gladness will meet them on the road. Sorrow and sighing will flee. So this morning, as we reflect on John's harrowing story and the delight and the joy of Isaiah 35, we are invited to reflect on this Advent season not only as God coming in the form of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, but also as our coming home with garlands of joy and rejoicing on our heads. What is ahead of us when Jesus returns as King? God comes. God is here. We leap and we shout and we sing. And together we walk home. Amen. Julie's going to lead us in our prayers.
Let us pray. God of love, John the Baptist calls us to lift our eyes to the horizon, where the new world of your promise begins to dawn. Give us faith to look for the signs of your kingdom in our midst, hope to live out your kingdom in our daily lives, and courage to work for a better world. With the eyes of faith, help us to see where you are already at work and show us what it is that you want us to do. We look for the day when sorrow will come to an end. Come and save us, O God. God of love, we pray for all who are travelling through the valley of the shadow of death, alone or in company. In our own community, we name the people we know that need your sustaining power today. Jacques, Jen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Pippa, Joe, Jackie, Mary, Helen, John, Henrietta, Tony, Donald, and Diana. And we hold up to you the family and friends of Patricia Knapp. We ask for the blessing of peace and your tender presence with them. We pray for all who watch and wait beside the sick and distressed, the troubled and those nearing the end of life. Give them strength to face each day's challenges and fresh reserves of love and kindness. We look for the day when sorrow will come to an end. Come and save us, O God. God of love, you give priority to what is weak in this world. You lift up the poor, free the captive, make the desert blossom, and bring the exiles home. We pray for courageous leadership that gives priority to those who are often overlooked in society. May we, your church, show your concern for the outsider and the stranger, and for all who need release from their hardships. When we look at the wastelands in our world and the destruction that our actions have caused to the planet, we remember your promise that new life is still possible amid the ruins. May we turn away from our damaging actions to our earth, and may we prepare the way for your healing and restoration. We look for the day when sorrow will come to an end. Come and save us, O God. God of love, at this time of the year, so many people are lost or lonely. Giving thanks for the love that we know in our own lives, we pray for all who are struggling with depression or fear. May our churches be places of sanctuary for all, offering generous welcome, peace, warmth, and kindness. May we show Jesus to all we meet and lift the burdens of those who are struggling. We look for the day when sorrow will come to an end. Come and save us, O God. God of love, you have placed us in community and you ask us to live in unity with one another in all our wonderful diversity and uniqueness, managing our conflicts, learning to listen with our whole hearts, and including all, whatever their age or situation. In you, we find ourselves surrounded by your wide embrace. May we learn together to reveal your loving kindness to the world and travel faithfully as your pilgrim people until we are gathered into your greater light and every tear is wiped away. We look for the day when sorrow will come to an end. Come and save us, O God. The Collect for the Day. O Lord Jesus Christ, who at your first coming sent your messenger to prepare your way before you, grant that the ministers and stewards of your great mysteries may likewise so prepare and make ready your way by turning the hearts of the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, that at your second coming to judge the world, we may be found an acceptable people in your sight. For you are alive in the reign with the Father in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We join together with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today
our bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen. May God, the Father, who loved the world so much, he sent his only Son to come among us in great humility, open your eyes to look for his coming again. Amen. May God, the Son, give us grace to live in the light of his coming as Redeemer and Judge. Amen. May God, the Spirit, free us from sin and make us holy and bring us to eternal life. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us and those we love and pray for today and always. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much for your company this morning. I hope you sing at the top of your voices and leap like stags and jump about with praise for the rest of the day. Inside, of course, not outside. Keep safe. There's coffee morning is at the golf club on Wednesday, the 14th of December, which is this coming Wednesday from 10 o'clock. It would be lovely to see you there as our pre-Christmas coffee morning.
Mince pies as well.
A mince pie. Dolly, you've got to have a mince pie or six, haven't you? Anyway, have a great day and God bless you all. And it's lovely to see you. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Good to see everyone.
Bye.
Have bye-bye. A great week, everyone.
Bye. Have a great
week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.